Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
720 WGN. I was reading this article about this silent eating disorder and mentioned it yesterday or the day before, and people started texting and a dad called, and it's called ARFID, A-R-F-I-D. They call it a selective eating disorder, and it's mostly in children, but adults can get it as well. Beth Dorfler is with us. She's a dietitian at Northwestern Medicine. Will you remind everybody what ARFID stands for, Beth?
Yes. Hi, everyone. It stands for Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder.
So it's different than bulimia or anorexia because they don't believe there's a mental health component. They believe it really is about texture and how people see food. And I guess it starts when you're young, right?
It can, and it can also develop in adults. You know, I see a lot of adult patients with digestive diseases, and people can, you know, I would really think of ARFID as there's layers to it. There can be this sort of sensory focus, sort of extreme picky eating that can affect kids. But adults who have sort of a trauma related to food, like let's say they choke or they get food poisoning or they have irritable bowel syndrome, can begin sort of avoiding foods in an effort to avoid symptoms. So it's both sensory as well as sort of fear avoidance of, you know, not dealing with consequences associated with eating.
Right. So smells, texture, colors, strangeness, things that might have caused you distress. And it's not like they just avoid one or two foods. According to the father who called in, it started like that, and then it progressed to where his son only eats four things.
Yeah, I mean, it can be really severe in terms of the level of restriction. The other thing that's really important about ARFID is that usually to sort of make the diagnosis, there's a few criteria. And one of the things that we consider is that there's also sort of a malnutrition component to it. So kids might have, this might impact, the restriction is impacting their growth, their ability to sort of socialize and their sort of wellness. And this is true for adults, too. And that maybe those kids and maybe those adults have to maintain their nutritional wellness with like oral nutritional shakes or even sometimes a feeding tube. So that's where we really say, boy, we've got to intervene, that this level of restriction is causing these extreme nutritional consequences.
Yeah. In the case of this son that the dad was telling us about on the radio, it's his iron levels and his weight levels, and he has been in treatment for it. So, you know, the only story I can, you know, share is that when my sister went through chemo, she couldn't stand the smell of fish or tuna or anything. But it started and ended with that. So for people who have trauma, and you said, how does it progress? And is there any way to stop the progression of what seems to be almost like a fear of food?
Yeah, it's a great question. So let's consider a case in adults. So let's say that I have an adult patient who is very constipated and is not able to have regular bowel movements. They have a lot of abdominal pain and pressure. And they naturally will start to say, well, maybe I'll follow a special diet or I'll eliminate certain food groups and see if that makes a difference. And maybe they see a little bit of a benefit. So then they start restricting more and more until they start losing weight, they stop dining out, and the restriction becomes even more progressive. And now it's impacting, you know, their nutritional wellness. And the treatment for that, I mean, the good news is there's some really great programs to really target ARFID, but we have to think of it comprehensively. Generally, we need our patients working with not only a doctor, but also with a psychologist that really focuses on helping people cope with their fears and their sort of avoidant behaviors. If we're talking about kids, sometimes we need a feeding therapist involved so that kids can sort of progress beyond that oral sensory motor restriction that they're prone to. And then, of course, a dietitian. One, to say, boy, is this patient getting enough protein? Are they getting enough calories to sustain growth? And if not, how are we going to make up the deficit? The final thing I'll say there is that if we're trying to rebuild these foods, often psychologists and dietitians will create what they call an avoidance hierarchy, or sort of a ladder of here's all the restricted foods. How do we baby step our way up in terms of texture, in terms of taste and types of foods, and sort of assuring the patient that you know, if you expand your diet, it might not have any impact on your symptoms, or you may be able to cope with the fear of symptoms when you're in it.
Right. I had also read that doctors say that parents are an important role model for kids when it comes to food, and that means expanding your variety and regularly scheduling meals and snacks and family meals.
It's a great point. I think in the pediatric world, it's very easy for kids to graze and not to eat sort of formal meals. And, you know, not every meal needs to be this picturesque, you know, roasted fish and vegetables and so forth. But it is important for us as Americans and for our kids to have structured meal time where they're exposed to a variety of textures, tastes, temperatures, colors, and that they get to sort of self-select some of the things that they like within a variety. Grazing can be a major impediment to people sort of eating foods that aren't maybe so instantaneously pleasurable.
Interesting. So most common in childhood, adults can also develop it. And you say that people should be treated with a doctor, a dietitian, and a psychologist or therapist, correct?
Yeah. And one other thing that I'll say, especially in kids, children who have had weight loss, it's really important that they would see a pediatrician or maybe a pediatric gastroenterologist, because there are some food allergies that present and mimic like ARFID. Kids might want to avoid eating certain foods because they can have allergies to certain foods. This is a condition called eosinophilic esophagitis, sometimes celiac. And these are great mimickers of ARFID. You know, they can produce anemia, they can cause weight loss and food avoidance. So it's really important that parents get an accurate diagnosis if this is something they're concerned about in their kiddos.
That's Beth Dorfler. She's a dietitian at Northwestern. What we're talking about is ARFID. It's called Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. Steve's News is next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.